Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Today we ask this question to a mostly grown-up audience. Why? Because no matter what you do, you matter, it matters, and even the smallest act or word of kindness you offer in this world makes a difference. Think about it. Hello, Mitake Epi, and welcome to Hochoka, here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, your Hochoka host. Today we're joined by Sister Kathy Bertrand. Sister Kathy is a school sister of Notre Dame, an award-winning writer, and a facilitator and consultant for various organizations, including the Priests of the Sacred Heart, or SCJs. She is here in Chamberlain as part of a gathering of other schools run by the SCJs. Because she is well known in the areas of discernment, call, and vocation, we invited her to talk with you, our audience of parents, staff, and many others, about the work you do in whatever role that might be. A warm Hochoka welcome to you, Sister Kathy.
Thank you, Scott. It's good to be here.
And it's nice to meet you today.
Thank you.
So for our viewers, can you give me an idea of who you are, a thumbnail sketch, and let us know what brings you to this chair right here today?
It's quite an existential question,
yeah, it
actually.
Is. Yeah.
So I can at least give you a little idea of who I am. I was born and raised in Redwood Falls, Minnesota. I'm the middle child of three. I have to say Redwood Falls was a great place to grow up. And it was one of those places where you didn't really realize how well off you were until you realized, as you grew a little older, mm-hmm. How different it was from many others.
Right.
So I think in thinking about my own family, I really realized that the values that I think were ingrained in me early on were certainly, you know, faith, family. Friendship. I wasn't, and I'm trying to have all F's here, but along with that, I really always an invitation to give back,
yeah.
To be of service, to be of help, and to trust that even in the smallest way, you had something to contribute. So I think I carried that with me in ways that I didn't even know. So as I went through high school, college, I joined the School Sisters of Notre Dame. At a relatively early age, but I think you grow into that way of life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what brought me to this point of sitting here today? Oh my gosh, we don't have that much time.
But
basically, I hope to share a little bit today in terms of my own experience, what it is that I hope can be a source of encouragement and help for others as each of us lives into who it is and what it is that we are really called to be.
Excellent. So you were raised in a good place, a place that means something to you still to this day, in a way that means something to you until this day. What was it that triggered you to go into this area? Because you said Notre Dame, you started that work at a very early age, and you mentioned off-air high school even, right?
Well, I certainly was in the process of deciding what I was going to do after high school.
Yep.
And at that period in history, it was either the Peace Corps looked really attractive, mm-hmm. But religious life was also always an option, given my family and some of our family history. I'm one of those people that has any number of relatives who are priests, brothers, and sisters.
Okay.
So where others might have been talking about, you know, this profound call from God.
Right.
For me, it was more like the family business.
Yeah, it was
so,
a choice.
So it was an option that
yeah.
I thought I would look at. It. I have to admit, never really seriously thinking I would stay. So, but I thought, well, let's try it. And then ultimately, someone dared me to try it. So I did.
So you followed
and
up.
I never thought I would still be here. So the fact that I'm sitting here today is probably as big a surprise to me as it is to anybody
right.
else.
Isn't that
so,
something?
But,
yeah.
But yeah. But my family, I think they did have a lot to do with it. I had parents who really, I mean, now in hindsight, were always aware of those who were most in need
mm-hmm.
in our community and, you know, our civic community and our church community. So I remember after, I don't know, I was gosh, I don't know how old I was, but I have a sister who was in a missionary. She's also in my community. Mm-hmm. So she was a missionary in Guatemala for 40 some years.
Okay.
Just returned. My brother,
wow,
who is now deceased, was a huge advocate for the rights of disabled.
Okay.
And my dad one day said to me, you know, why is it that all three of you are in these kinds of things?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Dad, you know, look what house we grew up in, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
So, I mean, it was almost as if they took it so for granted. They did not even realize the kind of influence that they had on our lives in also recognizing a desire and a need to give back,
right,
to really be of service. So I think that's one of the messages I want to share with your audience is,
yep,
never underestimate the influence that,
right,
we have on each other.
Right, absolutely. What did your dad do? What was his?
He was a machinist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but obviously he was a machinist in his occupational life, but
in his occupational life, yes. He also, though, even he constantly had an awareness,
yeah,
of those that he most wanted to attend to. For example, we had a home in our town that was for mentally challenged adult men.
Mm-hmm.
He was forever, you know, picking them up if you saw them out walking,
yeah,
and taking them to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them were hired to do some of the, you know, the menial tasks in the business where he was. He was so aware of them. And at his funeral, they were there en masse,
yeah,
which,
yeah,
was,
yeah,
such a tribute. So,
yeah,
yeah, I just, you know, I consider myself very fortunate in ways that I probably didn't even know or appreciate as much at the time.
Yeah, to see that and to have it
that
normalized,
yeah,
for you is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of the term vocational ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack that for us or tell me a little bit about what that means to you?
Yeah, I think in 25 words or less,
yeah,
it really is what I would understand as an opportunity of accompaniment that my role as a vocation minister, in which I was engaged for quite a number of years as a school sister of Notre Dame, I understand it as really trying to be present to particularly younger men and women who were really in the process of discernment. They may not have called it that,
mm-hmm,
but they were really trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was my role to help look at the questions that really are involved in that. And in the process, what I discovered is it really afforded them an opportunity to take another look at want to call it God, higher power, spirit, whatever you want to call it, what that was and how that figured into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I discovered is how many people really believe that somehow God has this tiny, tiny, narrow vision of what it is we're supposed to do with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow, I mean, I interviewed people or worked with people who seemed to think that the more miserable they were or the harder it was, that must be God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our sense of God and God's will, I think God either is laughing or crying.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think we miss the point,
mm-hmm,
at times. I really, really believe, and I guess that's what I tried to help invite others to consider is, isn't God the God of multiple choices?
Mm-hmm.
Then I hope God is, you know, kind of taking delight in who I am and,
right,
what I am and how I'm living this life. But God, I think, would have been just as happy if I had done something else with my life.
Right.
So it's not that, you know, it's not a God who waits around for us to find that, you know, that right little hole in which to put my peg,
right,
which is my life.
Right.
I think God just offers us so many options.
Yep.
And this is one of them.
Yeah.
I think we tend to think somehow this needs to be more grandiose,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
than it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. We only have one life.
Yeah.
So we want to make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we often spend time wondering, you know, is this the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what, you know, we get into God's will language for,
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But is this what really is the best use of time and energy and talent? And that's where we really need to help each other,
mm-hmm,
is to help, you know, to help figure that out. When people would come to me, you know, so determined that, you know, God wants me to do this with my life. And I would always ask, well, who else thinks this is a good idea?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because somehow we also have this sense that that God's will or God's design or desire should be also revealed in some grandiose mm-hmm. way. And I remember one time when I had been in this ministry, in vocation ministry, for a short amount of time, and I remember driving down the highway and I saw this sign: if you're waiting for a sign from God, this is it. Yeah. And yeah. I thought, that's great, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you see right in front of you
right.
that continues to help us to know, are we in the right place?
Right.
Are we doing what is ours to do? And who am I willing to allow to influence my life
mm-hmm.
in helping me to continue to move and to grow and to change?
Yeah.
So that's all part of what this ministry is about.
Right. So you help people to try to unpack the mystery of it mm-hmm. and with the understanding, if I'm hearing you correctly, that the mystery can never really be unpacked in a perfect, nice, tidy little way, but to help them understand that there are possibilities out there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the coolest thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm hearing it right, that word possibility pops up for me and you show people – try to help people see that there are so many possibilities in what
Absolutely.
You can do and serve mm-hmm. in whatever way mm-hmm. that might look like.
I really liked the way you started, Scott, with that whole question of, you know, what do you want to be when you grow
mm-hmm.
up?
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sense, we never really, really entirely grow up until maybe we're in the grave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think there are some examples that we see all around us. I mean, when I talked about, you know, the little things, that the obvious ways that perhaps God's design and desire is revealed. I remember reading the book lately, and I think they made it into a movie now, but The Boy, the Fox, the Mole, and the Horse.
Okay, yeah.
And in that story, this little boy is looking for a home, a place to belong. And I think it's the horse asks him at one point, you know, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, we're all sitting there with bated breath, and his mm-hmm. response is, I want to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that points to, and we get so into what am I going to be, which mm-hmm. is really, in essence, what I'm going to do.
Right.
Rather than that really focusing on what am I going to be,
yeah.
you know, to be kind, to be, you know, what is it that we want to bring to this planet?
Mm-hmm.
And as we listen to the news, it's pretty dire.
Yeah.
And what we keep holding up as the story of success sometimes I think can really skew what it is that might really be asked of us.
Mm-hmm.
I so appreciate it. I love tennis. I like to play tennis. I like to watch tennis.
It's what I played as a – yeah, that was my sport. Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, I happen to be able – rarely do I get to see much of a tournament, but I watched the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they interviewed Coco Gauff.
Yep.
And they asked her the question, because she was going to play in the final. And they asked her, you know, are you stressed out? Do you feel terrible stress? Now, when you consider how young she is, and her mm-hmm. response was, there are people who are starving. There are mm-hmm. people who are homeless. There are people who can't feed their families. I get to do what I love.
Mm-hmm.
For them, that stress, this is really pure gift to be
right.
able to do this.
Right.
And I remember at one point she talked about the fact that her father had said to her, you can play tennis and you may be very good at it, but remember, this is your way of bringing a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
How will you help the world?
Right.
So I think it's that kind of notion that I hope we can keep inviting each other to take a look at. You know, yesterday I had the privilege of visiting, you know, one of your residences. It was the mm-hmm. where the I think it was the third grade to fifth grade boys
okay.
live.
Yeah.
And this one little guy was just delightful. And when his house parent was wonderful in you know, really telling us what's going on there. And he would so often interject with and to help each other and to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that's what, you know, probably on some days you think, oh my gosh, you know, I should mm-hmm. just go bang my head on a wall because nothing's getting through here to anybody.
Right, right.
But then you hear this kind of thing and I yeah. think that's significant.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And whether it's Coco Gauff or it's this third grade boy.
You got it.
Or me at my age or you doing what you do, that's what we all want to continue to bring to what we do.
Bring what we can bring.
Yeah, until we grow up.
Yep,
until we grow up. Or are done growing or whatever that looks
exactly.
like. Until the mystery's revealed or not, however that works. So you've went into this way of life and this way of work, and there's some days it feels very certain what you should be doing and it's fulfilling and you understand exactly what the mission is. Is that really the case, or are there times where it's difficult to stay engaged in that?
Oh, yeah. There's no easy answers in any of this. And you mentioned it a couple times, Scott, and I think you're right on when you use the word mystery. It's the whole thing is a mystery. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe that you don't respond once and for all and that's it. And, you know, it's determined and this is a path and away I go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got all these little diverging points that I really do believe that it's a call within a call within a call. Mm-hmm. It keeps changing and evolving. And there are days when, you know, you can't wait to get out of bed and get going. Mm-hmm. And then, as you well know, there are days when I remember when I thought of this particular, I was in leadership in my own congregation. And I remember thinking one day, you know, just thinking about running away made me feel better. Mm-hmm. So I think there are times when, you wonder, is this it? Is this all there is to it? Or should I be doing something else? And it moves us somewhere else. But
right.
But I remember years and years ago, I came across this little prayer, and it was, God, remember my younger heart's desire. Mm-hmm. And I often come back to that in thinking, I don't know where this is all going to go. Even as old as I am now, I don't know where this is all going to go. I mean, given the uncertainty of our world, even with our church, I mean, there's all kinds of things that are so unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen how this will all evolve. But if I can stay attuned to and conscious of that younger heart's desire, you know, what did I most want when my heart was at its best? And now with my older, more seasoned heart, that's probably got a few cracks and holes and hurts, where does that lead me now? So I do think that there are, you know, there are some real challenges there, but also some great blessings in it all. And one of those, I think, has got to be, how do we help each other?
Mm-hmm.
I think the word collaboration is about worn out, to be honest. But whatever the word is, you get the drift.
That we've
got to somehow care about each other and trust that on any given day, maybe my word of encouragement or support can help that of someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I walk around this campus and see the work of you know, your house parents, of your counselors, your teachers, on every level, there have got to be days when they want to get in the car and run away,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And yet, you know, for us who come in from the outside and see what's going on, it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So it's that this is amazing part that we've got to be faster, I think, to really support in each other.
Right.
To remind people how significant they are, what they're doing, that it matters. Mm-hmm. And to hear, I heard one of your house parent, well, she was a house parent like years ago, but was here for a long time. And to hear her talk about the students that still come back, who still remember her, who still want to be in touch, that matters.
Right.
That all matters. So not to underestimate that. So how do we really support each other in all of that?
Right.
And, you know, being that this is an SCJ, this is a Dohonian ministry. All of this is grounded in, you know, in his mission and vision of certainly more fundamentally in that of Jesus Christ, but certainly lived out in a particular way and begun here in South Dakota. You know, and I have certainly in my work with this community, which is pretty extensive, I just have been so taken with how attentive really the members are, the associates are, the staff, the, you know, all the co-workers, the board members, in really wanting to continue that spirit. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the things that I would really just want to offer as part of this podcast, you know, there are two pieces that Dahonians also try to attend to, the kind of prayer that they offer. Mm-hmm. So I would just offer a couple pieces of that in terms of maybe that's something that can touch someone else's mind and heart.
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
One of the prayers that I know is really significant to the members of the community, and they call it a prayer of oblation, which is really an idea or a willingness to offer yourself to God for whatever is needed. And this is one part of such a prayer. Give us a new heart and put a new spirit with us, that we may stand open and available before God and all people. Make use of who we are and what we possess, and so transform us in your image, that in you and with you, we may renew the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So another little prayer that they call the prayer of reparation, which is really a commitment to try to make the world a better place. And I just offer this example of that type of prayer. Jesus, the poor are all around us. You did not ignore them or pass them by. You saw in them a reflection of yourself, created in your own image and likeness. Help us to see with your eyes. Give us a heart of courage, not only to feed the hungry and give a home to the homeless, but to work toward eliminating hunger and homelessness. Challenge us to hear your words and live them. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And those are simple but extremely powerful prayers as well. And so my understanding is we have them printed up for distribution to staff. And if any of our audience out there would like a copy of the prayer cards, you can send an email to hochoka@stjoe.org, which is, of course, hochoka@stjoe.org. And if you include your mailing address, we'll get one of those mailed off to you. In closing, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
I think it goes without saying that we are living at a time in history when, if we want to be discouraged, we can find more than enough reasons. Mm-hmm. There is so much divisiveness, so much rancor, so much hatred. So to have a person, a few people, lots of people, who think otherwise, mm-hmm. who feel otherwise, who are committed to making a difference, mm-hmm. no matter how small that might be,
yeah.
It matters. Mm-hmm. It matters. So I think to simply trust that we are not alone in this,
mm-hmm.
and that we are not finished.
Mm-hmm.
And like that little boy responded, I want to be kind
right.
when I grow up.
Right.
I used to think kindness was kind of overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it's absolutely, absolutely essential.
Yeah.
And even that, and if it translates into even the smallest act,
mm-hmm.
it matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
I agree. And I think kindness is all that matters. And I want to say to you, thank you for being here at Hochoka today. And this is my first time meeting you. And we threw a lot of words out there today, but the important thing that came through in my conversation with you was undoubtedly your kindness and what you shared, and your kindness comes through and comes through in the work that you do and what you've done with your life. And so keep bringing that to whatever situation you can, because I felt it today in a good way, and I hope our viewers did too. So thank you for bringing that to us here at Hochoka.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, anytime. And thank you to our viewers as well for joining us here at Hochoka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian Schools campus, where we talk about issues that are central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.